God bless you all.
Amen. God bless you all. How are you doing? Thank you, Barney, Vicky, Bob, and Jeannie. Thank you for inviting us. We are so blessed to be with you guys today. Beautiful day in Central Florida. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous day. And we're doing great. We are we're super blessed. We just real quick, we'll let you know, we just put a down payment on a house. We're super blessed about that. We'll be moving into that in May. So we're blessed, and we're blessed to be with you guys, and especially as the prayers were said, that God never leaves us because we are the body of Christ, and He's not going to forsake that. That's His work. It's His workmanship, right? We're going to sing two songs for you, and then I'm going to share some Bible with you guys, okay? So, first one we're going to do is, both of these songs are going to be on a new CD. It should be out by May, if any of you want to know more about it and you're not on my mailing list, please just let me know. I think my email's on there. So you can email me and let me know if you want to stay updated on when that's coming out. They will be out. I'm trying to do two at the same time. They should be out by May, right? I think so.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, Linda said. So here's one called Bless the Lord on My Soul.
The Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His name. Bless His name. Bless. Forgives all my sin, heals all my diseases. He redeemed my life from a world that's dead. And He casts a true crown of love and tender mercies on my head. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. All that is within me, bless His name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless His name.
As the heaven is high, far above the mountains, there's a mercy great toward all that fear Him. And He casts off my sins, so far He can't remember, so far He won't remember, and He never will remember them again. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His name, bless His name, bless His name.
And don't forget that our Lord, He died for our redemption. And the shed blood still washes white as snow. And the price that He paid made sure the perfect healing. So receive the perfect healing. He died for our healing. This bread of life is healing evermore.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his name. He forgives all my sins and he heals all my diseases. He redeemed my life from a world that's dead. He restores my soul so I can fly just like the eagle. And he puts a crown of tender mercies on my head. Bless the Lord. And all that is within me, bless his name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless his name. Bless his name. Bless his name.
Okay, and this other one is called So Shine. And this is about letting our light shine. We heard that in manifestations tonight, and that's what I'm going to share on as well. So this one's called So Shine. Each day, let them all be filled with God's love and ways, that all may come and hear the song of saints on high ground. As the rain pours from a cloud-filled sky, touches every soul for miles and miles, let the words you speak from the mouth of God heal, revive, inspire. Then your light so shine, oh shine for the world to see. Then Christ's love so shine. With all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, oh, let shine. When I see you touch the leper's hand, bringing strength to those who cannot stand, bringing fright to fear and the devil's ban, you are a true child of God. May the oceans part when you walk by faith. Every mountain move by his amazing grace. Show the power of love in a single word. Christ now lives and his voice is heard. Let your light so shine. Shine for the world to see, then live Christ's love so shine. With all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, oh, let him shine. Here you are the lights of this world. You're a beacon on a hill, piercing through the darkest night to bring all men his will. Leading home the shipwrecked soul, all weary, battered, and torn, that they may see the glorious light in your face, Son of God. And they will see your love and light and glorify our God.
so that your light so shine, shine for the world to see, then let Christ's love so shine with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Oh, let it shine, let it shine. You know this dead light of mine, yeah, it ain't no little light when I let my shine. Let him shine, yeah, this little light of mine, it ain't no little light. 20,000 words you may speak each day, let them all be filled with God's love and the way.
Okay. Thank you, Linda. Linda just, she just applauded. Oh, well, what a blessing, what a blessing, what a blessing, what a blessing. Okay. So, thank you guys for allowing me to do this. It's such a blessing to be able to share God's Word. You all know that, those of you who teach and share the Word. It's really our profession. It's what we do. It's really what we were called to do, is to let people know and let people see God through our lives, and let people know that there is a God, number one, that He has created all things, and that He has sent His Son for us so that we can live a new life, not an old life, not a life that's changed, made better, but different, completely new. And I think that's where the shining really comes from. The light that is in us is a new light. It's not the old light looking better. It's a new light. It is Christ. Christ is the light of the world. We're in the body of Christ. So we get to shine for Him. And I want to talk a little bit about this, but from the perspective of, I want to start with Psalm 19. If you all want to turn there. I saw some things in that blessed me, and I thought I'd share them with you. So Psalm 19, great psalm. You know, psalms are songs. They are, this particular one was written by David. And there's a great structure in it that I'll get to, but whenever people write songs, you know, you try to say a lot with a little bit. You try and say a lot by condensing words and sentences. And that's what David does in these psalms. It's really great. He doesn't elaborate sometimes. It's just, boom, he says things. And sometimes we have to stop, like the word says, and say la. You have to stop sometimes and consider what is being said. So we will do that throughout this psalm. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." There really is so much within that first statement. You could spend probably an hour or two on that. It's the heavens. It's not the heaven. It's plural. The heavens, describing everything of the heavens, the entire creation, the universe, declares. Wow, declares the glory of God. So the first thing I want to look at is the word declare. And it's an interesting word. It means you recount or rehearse something. You do it over and over again. You recount it. Declaring means that it's happening all the time. It's the heavens are recounting the glory of God all the time. Even now, as you're sitting there and you may be sitting in a bright sunshine, the stars are out there. The heavens are out there. They are declaring the glory of God. And at night, we will see, right, more of that heaven, because we'll see those stars and the creation of God. But what they're doing is they're speaking about the glory, the brilliance, the brightness, the power, the weight of Almighty God. And that's the next word we'll look at, is the title God there. If you're looking at a King James Bible, it may be God, capital G, small o, D, but the word there is El in Hebrew. It's the shortened version of El Shaddai. It's a shortened version of Elohim. Now, El, as far as Bullinger describes it, the title, is God, the omnipotent Elohim. He's the Almighty. It really should be translated the Almighty. The heavens declare the glory of the Almighty, is really what it should say. El, then, is the omnipotent Elohim. He is God the Creator, putting his omnipotence into operation. Isn't that cool? Elohim putting his almighty power, his omnipotence, into operation. El is the God who knows all, sees all, and performs all things for his people, in whom all the divine attributes are concentrated. I love that. In whom all the divine attributes are concentrated. El, it's, we're saying the heavens, David is saying the heavens declare the glory of El, the Almighty God. Oh, it's so powerful, the statement. And yet so many miss it. And so many don't spend the time to rehearse it or to think about it, to recount it daily. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. I love this, because the firmament is the expanse, so it is the complete thing. It's the entire picture, right? The expanse, the entire picture shows his handiwork, or sets forth his handiwork. And as I thought about this recently, I said, you know, we can look at a lot of things in life and pass them by over and over and over again and never look at the details of how they're made, how the handiwork is made. And I thought of this. I have a piano here. Linda and I had the joy of going to see a piano, this restoration place, yeah, where they were restoring our piano. And one of the guys took us into the room where they were working on what's called the action, all the hammers and all this stuff. And we were blown away, you know, at all the detail that goes into just the hammer section of a piano. I mean, there's springs, there's rubber bands, there's wood, there's plastic, and it's all designed, yeah, very intricate. It's all designed so that you can play fast, slow, soft, loud. I mean, it is an incredible work, yet what we see most of the time is this big block of wood. And we see the outward appearance, but we don't see the handiwork. Well, that's what I believe this is being said here. The firmament, the expanse, is showing the detail handiwork of God. He is a specific God, and his work is so grand, but it's also very perfect. So the expanse showeth the Almighty, El, and his great work that he has set in place. Verse 2, this is really great. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. Day unto day is like a figure of speech. Again, you know, you're trying to say a lot with a little. It's really day after day after day after day after day. It is speaking. And night unto night it is showing knowledge. But there's a key word in here that I saw, again, in Companion Bible, Bullinger's Bible. And it is that word, uttereth speech. It means it has within it a consistency. It is constantly pouring out. Some versions say a flowing. Others say a gushing out of what? Speech. day unto day, the heavens are declaring this glory of God, and it is pouring out speech. It's speaking, but here's the key to this. What God says is always in the realm of teaching, understanding, and prophecy. And that's one of the words, this actually is translated in other places in the word as prophecy. Now think about this, that God put in the heavens the prophecy of Jesus Christ. It is the message of the Messiah. How great then is it to behold in the heavens the glory of God? What is it speaking about? It's speaking about the plan of redemption. Linda has shared this with me many times about the zodiac. It starts with the Virgin, right, and ends with Leo the lion. Starts with the birth of Christ. The story starts with the birth of Christ and ends with the King Jesus returning as the Lion of Judah. Now, that is quite a story. That is quite something to think about every day of our lives, that God has written this in the stars and we understand it. But he calls it the glory of God. It's declaring the glory of God. It is speaking day after day after day. And night after night, it is showing knowledge. That word knowledge means intelligence. It's knowledge, but it's intelligent knowledge. You know, it's not unnecessary knowledge. It's very important knowledge. So, night unto night declares knowledge. And that is, I tell you, the whole idea of the constellations is really fascinating. You know that we sometimes don't really take it seriously, you know, but others have. Bullinger has done a great work on it, and he got his work from
Francis Rolston.
Francis Rolston. So there's a great book that he wrote called Witness of the Stars. You could check that out. And I think he got a lot of that work from her. But it's a very wonderful work. The whole idea is that, you know, there's this story that's been mapped out for many to see of the coming Messiah. Okay, then let's move on to verse 3. This is really cool. Verse 3 says, "There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." Again, this is great because there's two ways to look at this verse, and I think both of them could be correct. So it's saying that this message of the Christ, the Messiah, is there, it's been there, it will be there, and it's there's no speech nor language, meaning that could mean there's no place on earth where it's not heard. And that's what I've always thought it to mean. But Bullinger points out that those words, "there is" and "where," are in italics. So the first part could be there is no speech or language. It's saying, well, yeah, they're speaking, but there's really no speech or a language. And then if you take the word "where" out, their voice is not heard. It's really not speaking, but it is speaking. It's a picture, right? It is a picture that is speaking to us. It's not a voice. Verse 4, "Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." Ooh, I love this. "In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun." Let's look at the first part of this. Their line, that's an inheritance line. That's what people would understand when they read this in biblical times. They would understand this as an inheritance line, the line, the drawing out line. Their line is gone out. This incredible story of the Messiah is like an inheritance line. It's great to understand that our inheritance is written in the stars. You know, it's set in place by the Almighty El, by Almighty God. This verse is quoted in Romans 10. Let's go to Romans 10. It's really got me because I've never really seen it. I don't know why. I probably read it hundreds of times, but I didn't realize that it was quoted in Romans 10. Further proving that the heavens are prophecy. Let's pick it up in verse 9. Very familiar verses. "That If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I think the subject here is going to be what? Salvation, right? The scripture saith, for whosoever believeth on him, Jesus, shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord, Jesus, is over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. All right, so there's a message, right? Message of the Messiah, message of Christ. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And many have said the translation should be hearing the message of Christ. The message. The message. Messiah. The message. But, I say, verse 18, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound, here it is, went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. I believe Paul absolutely knew why. He absolutely knew why he was using this verse. He was quoting Psalm 19, verse 3. Yes, the message has been written in the stars. You remember the wonderful the Magi, right? They studied the stars. They studied the message. They knew exactly when the Christ child would be born. They spent up to a year and a half traveling to see the birth. They knew it was written in the stars. The message of Christ, the Messiah, is written with stars. Isn't that cool? Stars. You know what stars are? Stars are big balls of fire. That's what they are. They're not planets. What we're looking at is stars when we look up at the constellations. The planets that we see are mostly in our solar system because we can't see the planets in other solar systems. So what we're looking at is a bunch of big balls of fire. God is so cool, right? The mighty L, to put big flaming balls of fire in the sky. And they're telling a story. So let's go back to Psalm 19. And we're going to look at the end of that verse says, in them, the constellations, the stars, hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. That word tabernacle is a tent. It's like a house. Each one of the zodiac, each one of the constellations, is considered a house, a tent. And the sun travels through each one of them. Fabulous what God did, because we're the ones who are moving, not them. It's a fascinating study, which we won't get into now, but it's, I don't know how God did it, but he did it. He's got this story printed in the sky, and we're like a little spinning ball watching it happen year after year, day after day. Okay, so then he goes on to say, I want to move on. Let's see. Am I back? I'm not back in there. Wait, hold on one second. Get back to Psalm 19. Yes, Psalm 19. Thank you. And is going forth, no, let's five, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. I love that. Each morning, you know, the sun comes coming out of his tent, his tabernacle, because each one is coming, you know, all those constellations are happening all year long that it's going through. And it's like he's coming out as a strong man to run a race. I love it. He's going forth as from the end of heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. Now, I want to run through these kind of quick. Verses 7 through 9 are six titles of the word with six attributes of the word and six effects of it. Now he compares the written word with these amazing stars in heaven. The law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul. It restores the soul so great. The testimony of the Lord is sure. By the way, converting means to bring back. It's you're changing it. The law, the word of God, changes. It restores our souls. What about the message of Christ? Yes, that absolutely restores our soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You know, I've always thought, I didn't know what that really meant until recently. I think if you take a simple truth from God's word, like God loves you, that is so simple, but you know what? It makes you wise. Or take a verse of scripture that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not into your understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That's a simple truth. He will direct your path, but you know what? It makes us wise. That's so cool. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord, it's pure. Amen. See, the commandments of the Lord are pure. They enlighten the eyes. Think about how Paul would pray. He'd say, Lord, enlighten their eyes to the hope. Enlighten their eyes, that their eyes may be enlightened, that they may know the hope of your calling, the riches of the glory. He wants our eyes enlightened, and the Word of God does that. The fear of the Lord is clean. This is a great one, really. See, when you really have pure worship, reverence for God, it's a cleansing, because we can't have any other worship in our lives and enter into the presence, really. You can't really have worship of idols. That's why God would say, when he told them to walk into a land, take over a land, get rid of all those idols. You don't want any other idols in your life, because you will be clean. The fear of the Lord really is the only way to be totally clean, because you have to enter into the presence of God. I think this is another teaching for another time. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Amen. More to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them thy servant is warned, admonished, taught, educated. And in keeping of them there is great, great reward. Hallelujah. I believe that. I know you all do too. Who can understand his errors? Again, the word his is in italics. It can just read, who can understand errors? And that word errors, it's an astronomical term, means wanderings, like the planets wander. And boy, I'll tell you, each one of us has gone through times of wandering. But we know when we look at God, the Almighty, El, and we see his plan that he is admonishing us to do every day, day after day, that he has a plan for our lives. He has implemented that plan, and it's going to come to pass. Christ is coming back. We are set. We don't wander. We don't wander. Look at verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The word meditation can be the musing of the heart or the muttering, but it really, from what I saw, I had a great translation of it. It said the resounding music of the heart. You see, let the resounding music of my heart, the words of my mouth, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. When we get a real picture of God and his plan and this incredible design of the lights that are in the heavens, and we see that he has done this for us to understand, we sing. We sing for joy. We sing because we know this has been going on for centuries, and God has a plan that has been set in stone. It's going to come to pass. And I love the way he ends this psalm with my strength and my redeemer. My what? My Redeemer. Starts out by saying, the heavens declare the glory of El, and he ends with my strength and my Redeemer. Yes, El is our Redeemer, and he has redeemed us. Now, let's finish up by going to the New Testament and seeing what we are today and why we now declare the glory of God. Look at Matthew, please, chapter 5. Matthew 5. I'm going to go through these kind of quick, so if you want to write them down, you can. Matthew 5, Jesus Christ says in verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." You know, Linda and I used to, we were living in Nyack, about 20 miles north of Manhattan. We could see the light of Manhattan 20 miles away. Couldn't see the buildings, but we saw the light. You know, you can't hide a city that is set on a hill, right? "Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it gives light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine." Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's the point. We don't glorify ourselves. We're not promoting ourselves. We're promoting the Almighty and his work, his handiwork, his might, glorious power, his weight. We are promoting the God's message, his plan of redemption every day. So let your light so shine. Look at 2 Corinthians 3, please. 2 Corinthians 3, familiar verse to you all. 2 Corinthians 3:18. "But we all with open face beholding as in a glass," what? "The glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord." What are we beholding? We're beholding the glory of the Lord. And what we're looking at, we're looking at Christ. Yes, the glory of the Lord is declared in the heavens, but now we get to look right into the face of Christ, the glory of God. And what are we changed into? We're changed into the same image, the glory of God. See, we have the glory of God within us. We heard that in manifestations. The Spirit of God is in us. We see the glory of God and declare it in the heavens, but we are the glory of God. With Christ in us, don't let your light be put under a bushel. That's what Jesus was saying. Let it shine. Let it shine. Look at chapter 4. I want to read on here. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light," look at these words, "the light of the glorious gospel," the message, the good news of Christ, the Messiah, who is the image of God, "should," what? "Shine unto them." See, this is what we're about. We're not about, see, when, I'll tell you what, when we get gathered together, God is not going to say to you, "You know, you were really great at talking politics with other people. You know, you were really good about keeping, keeping this business intact and stuff." No, God is going to commend us for shining as a light about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of us get into a lot of discussions and debates, and it shouldn't be. The one body of Christ is the answer to all of the world's problems. There's no division in the body of Christ. There's no inequality in the body of Christ. There's no racism in the body of Christ. All are one. No Greek, no Jew, no bond, no free, no sexism. I mean, the body of Christ, the message of Christ, is the answer for the world. And it is the answer for the world throughout all eternity. So where did I leave off there? Yes, the gospel is the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. You see, we're not promoting ourselves. Wow! We're promoting Christ Jesus the Lord. For God, 6, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light, look at this, of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. Philippians 2. Got two more verses to look at here. Philippians 2. You've seen this verse before, but in light of us declaring the glory of God, the message of Christ, this is so important for us in these times. Verse 13, for it is God, think about that for like a few hours, it is the Almighty God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, will do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And I know many translations say that we are like the stars of heaven. Great balls of fire. You know, that's why I put that line in that song. This is no little light. You know, we don't have a little light. I love that little children's song. We have a great light to give to people. And that was mentioned in Manifestations tonight as well. Let your light shine. One last verse, Ephesians 2, please. Again, very familiar verse to you all. 2:10. We, you, me, we, the body of Christ, the temple of the living God, are his workmanship. You see, and that means we're his greatest work. You know that declare the glory of God, the heavens declare the glory of God? That actually pales in comparison to the body of Christ. We are his greatest work. And the details, you could look at the whole body or you could look at the details. Each person, every member, has a valuable purpose in this workmanship of God. Each person is equal and each person is significant because we each shine the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the message, the plan of El, Almighty God. And that's what I wanted to share with you guys today. Amen?
Amen.